We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a man that played in the National Football League for 10 seasons. You can catch him on Mad Dog Sports Radio right now, also CBS Sports HQ, and that is Lijay Dusabel. Lijay, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I got to give you credit because we talked to you.
I just wanted to make sure that you remembered. I was not going to let you forget.
I'm actually surprised that you remembered because there's so many things that I don't even remember. But for people that have no clue what we're talking about, we may need to ask Lijay Dusabel for the lottery numbers tonight because before the year started, you were the only person in America, the world, that said, don't be surprised if the Jets finish in second place in the AFC East. So I got to tip my cap to you, my friend.
I appreciate that, Zach. You know, it takes a big man to admit when, you know, you were kind of trying to play me a little bit because you thought, are you serious? The second or third place? I was like, do not be surprised. I just knew everything the Jets had added, the culture they were building. And I've been trying to tell everybody, nobody's afraid of the Patriots anymore. Like, nobody. Like, Tom Brady is gone. Like, the big bad wolf is gone. He's in Tampa now, and they're even struggling there right now. So I really felt like it was going to be a push between them and the Miami Dolphins. They've had some injury issues. We've had some, but we've been able to overcome those injuries.
Yeah, the Patriots stink. And I said before the start of the season that they weren't going to make the playoffs, but I didn't think that they'd be sitting in the bottom of this AFC East.
Mm. I mean, the Chicago Bears ran through them Monday Night Football. I mean, that's literally all you need to know.
What did you make of the whole Belichick situation and handling the quarterbacks? Because that was one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen.
The Patriots are smug. They've always been smug. They really think they're just smarter than everybody. I mean, it goes back to the offseason, and you mentioned it. You know, I host a five-day-a-week show on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, called I Am Athlete Tonight. And I remember, I think, in late July or even early when they decided to, you know, make Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and put them on the offensive side of the ball, I said, this is going to hurt Mac Jones' development. Yeah, think about it. He had a really bright, offensive-minded guy, Josh McDaniels, who ends up getting a job and leaving and going for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Congratulations. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to elevate yourself. But the smugness in Bill Belichick to think that he can hire a guy just because he has a high IQ and he's been on the defensive side of the ball his whole career and think he's going to be a good offensive coordinator, it's just like the Patriots really just think they can outsmart everybody. And then I just hate how they operate and do things. Like reporters are asking you direct questions. If Mac Jones is healthy, does he retain his job? Well, that's a hypothetical. That's not a hypothetical question. That's a clear-cut question. If the kid is healthy, does he go back to being a starter? And they just try to outsmart everybody. And the crazy thing is that it's like, it's not like him and Bailey Zappe are two different athletic quarterbacks. Like, you're simply going to be preparing the same way we played the New England Patriots. So you doing that is not really changing how the defensive coordinator is planning to play you that week. And we saw it versus Chicago Bears. Like, I think it matters when most of your offensive starters don't even know who's going to start in the game. Like, a lot of them came out and said it. Jacoby Myers, Ramondre Stevenson, Hunter Henry. They all came out like, we didn't know that Bailey Zappe was going to play this game. I think they all assumed that Mac Jones was going to be the starter again, and then he gets pulled after three series, and Bailey Zappe stays in, and he throws two interceptions in the second half. Now, they come out today and say Mac Jones is going to be the starter. Well, actually, Bill Belichick still hasn't formally said that, right? Supposedly, Mac Jones took 90% of the snaps, and through sources, I always throw quotation marks up with that, he will start this week, which I think is the right thing, right? You took a guy in the first round, you just don't give up on him that early because Bailey Zappe had one decent game. And I love Bailey Zappe. I think he can spend it with some of the best of them. But let's not get it twisted. That Cleveland Browns defense is horrible. And a lot of those passes down the field were busted coverages and guys were wide open. So, I mean, Mac Jones is a guy that everybody was saying, you know, from New England, he could be the next Tom Brady. And now all of a sudden, he's not good enough to be the starter anymore. I really do like Bailey Zappe because I think he gives you that element as far as throwing the ball down the field. Mac Jones is more methodical. He's going to methodically move the ball down the field. I think Bailey Zappe gives you a different, you know, envelope when it comes to a guy that can really test you down the field. But the Patriots offense has always been dink and dunk and based off the run game. So I think Mac Jones deserves the right to get back in the starting rotation. I don't think it's going to matter, though, Zach, because they set this kid up the field by what they did this offseason with his coaches.
And it's not just the coaching, because I'm in full agreement with you on the coaching. Patricia and Joe Judge coaching this kid up makes zero sense to me. Look at the teams that are starting to get some good play out of their young quarterbacks, like a Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, also a Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. they're getting legit weapons around him. And for years, because you had Tom Brady, you could afford to lose a Randy Moss. You could afford to lose a Wes Welker, and there was always that next guy up. You don't have Tom Brady anymore, so they got to go get legit number one wide receivers. And don't get me wrong, Jacoby Myers is a nice player in this league, but he's their best receiver. He's not a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, Zach, they've actually got good contributions from Devontae Parker. This is a guy that's been hurt his whole career. This is how, I don't want to say low, the Miami Dolphins think of him, but they traded him within the division. That says something. Well, you're not worried about playing against the guy now. Again, he's played actually really well. He's not a guy that really separates from defenders, but he's a guy that can go up and get the ball, you know, 50-50 balls and one-on-one coverage. And he's actually done that pretty well this year. Really gave him the spark the last few weeks in doing that with Bailey Zappe. We'll see if he can continue to stay healthy, because that's always been his biggest issue. But like you said, as far as just like the playmakers around him, like some of the guys that they paid a lot of money to, they don't like Jonnu Smith is a good player. For some reason, they don't even run plays for him. I don't understand it. You can see the elation in him last week when Bailey Zappe came in. He had a big explosive run and catch, and even in the Cleveland game, like they don't use him. He usually gets like one target a game, which is absurd because he literally, I think, got paid more than Hunter Henry in the beginning of last year. They used him more than Hunter Henry started being the guy in the red zone, and I don't even use Jonnu Smith except for a glorified offensive tackle. So, like, I just don't understand the game plan. Again, Tom Brady, when he was there, and even now in Tampa Bay, he's always been a quick dink-and-dunk guy, get the ball out of his hand, know exactly where to go with the football. And Mac Jones has kind of been that way as well, but that was with Josh McDaniels last year. It just seems like the kid has lost, you know, this year. Has 6 interceptions in only 3.25 games. Like, that's absurd. And I think it's because of the coaching. And supposedly there was a rift up there. He was you know, questioning New England about why they hired these two guys to coach him. And then also an issue about his ankle injury, how he was supposed to handle it. They wanted him to get surgery. He refused to do it. So we'll see how this plays out for the New England Patriots going forward throughout the rest of the year.
Lee J. Duzabal here with us. So the Jets, as we were talking about to open things up, are 5-2 to start off the season. Unfortunate injury news with Breece Hall and Elijah Vera Tucker going down for the season. But I like, in a moment like that where you wonder, okay, where are the Jets going to go from here after losing two of their better offensive players? They go out and acquire James Robinson. It just shows you, for the first time in a long time, the Jets have a competent coach, and they also have a GM that knows what he's doing.
And it's funny that we're talking about this, Zach, because I literally think yesterday, about 4 or 5 hours before the trade happened, I literally tweeted, free James Robinson. And it had nothing to do with my Jets, right? I would have loved that. And there's a couple of people were like, I would love to get him. People were like, we should get him. I was like, I would love to get him. I didn't think it was going to happen because I thought Jacksonville would be stupid as hell to trade him over there. But
they've disrespected him for 2 years. Urban Meyer, for whatever reason, didn't care about him. And because Urban drafted ATN in the first round, you kind of have to use now ATN. But Robinson's a heck of a player.
Nah, it's Trent Bulky. It goes down to him. Like, fair. Again, when you draft a guy in the first round and you have a running back going into his second year that had 1,000 yards, I want to say over 1,400 all-purpose yards, like, you don't draft the running back in the first round when you have that. And you have it for cheap, Zach. He was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
There was no reason for Travis Etienne to be to get drafted in the first round. He goes down, and James Robinson does what he always does. He plays extremely well. Now, going into this year, it's supposed to be 50-50 flow. And if you look at the first 3 weeks of the season, even though James Robinson came off the Achilles, he was playing really well the first 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks, I don't know if Trent Baalke got in Doug Peterson's head and was like, hey, we got to really start featuring this kid more because I took him in the first round. But that's dumb. That was the dumbest thing they could have ever done, right? They should have kept it at 50-50. And if you heard James Robinson speak today to reporters up in New York, that's literally what he thought. He was like, I thought it was going to be 50-50. It started off that way. And then, you know, they tried to use my knee soreness as an issue. He was like, I've always had knee soreness. Like, you know, playing running back, you're going to get beat up. So I'm going to be a little sore. But he was like, I was healthy enough to play. I mean, I played 12 snaps. And they didn't give me one carry last week. So I was just glad that he got released and was free. Not released, but released as far as being on, you know, being in jail in Jacksonville and them not using him and disrespecting him for the last 2 years. Now he goes to a team. Again, he's not Breece Hall. This guy is perfectly fit for this offense as far as a one-cut, get-downhill runner. That's what he does. Now, Breece Hall is a different element because of how explosive it is. He can take runs 50, 60 yards. With James Robinson, even though he has one of those runs this year already versus the Chargers, he's going to get you them tough 4 or 5 runs that turn into 20 yards. He's a hard guy to bring down. And I think the most important thing a thing that Mike LaFleur really loves is his pass protection ability in the backfield. That's going to help Zach Wilson feel comfortable in the pocket where he can throw the ball down the field and not have to evade defenders and try to leave the pocket too early because he has a running back that will stand up in there and block for him.
Lijay Duzabal here with us. All right, Mr. Clairvoyant, after your big Jets prediction before the start of the year, how are we talking about Zach Wilson at the end of the season?
It's to be determined, to be honest, Zach. You got to think, this guy missed 7 weeks because of the knee injury that he sustained in the first preseason game, right? So, essentially, the last four games have been the preseason for Zach Wilson. Right now, I think more is going to be asked of him now with the loss of Elijah Vera Tucker and also the loss of Breece Hall. But this, like, don't get it twisted. This offense is based off the run game. The Shanahan tree, if you look at it, right, everything is based off the run game. They're going to run the football. Now, do I think they go on the uptick of Zach potentially throwing 25 times a game instead of just 18 or 20? Yes, I think he ends up throwing, you know, a little bit more as the season goes on. We know the issue with Elijah Moore asking for a trade. He was back at practice. I'm not saying all is well with that because I think he's going to have to earn some of the respect back from his teammates. But I think they start trying to get him and Garrett Wilson going more this week. And again, everything's going to be based off the run game. And as Zach gets more comfortable, I think Mike LaFleur will put more on his plate.
When it comes to Russell Wilson, it seems like he's just trying too hard to be a star and he's losing focus on football. If I was a teammate of his, I know you can't pull him aside because he's the quarterback. They just gave him all that money. I'd be like, dude, just stop. Like, you're so cringeworthy. The guy's got to be laughing at him right now, right?
Man, what can you say? Like you said, they literally just gave him 160 plus guaranteed. So it's like, you go to him like, yo, Russ, I know you've been doing this for 10 years, but come on, bro. You're just doing a little bit too much. Like, what player on that team is comfortable to do that, Zach? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's like, you damn if you do, you damn if you don't. You don't say anything to him. It's like, he continues to do it, and he might do it anyway, whether you say something to him or not. And then it's like, who's comfortable enough to go out there and say that? I think literally the only person on that team that has that type of juice right now is Patrick Surtain II. Like, he's a young guy, so he's not going to go say anything to Russell Wilson. I think he's just living and really leaning into it now at this point, because there's no way, as much as he is on social media, he doesn't see what everybody's saying, you know? So I think he's literally just leaning into it now, because that's literally what it is, as far as, you know, people are calling him corny or, as you said, cringeworthy. I think he just is going with the flow, because at this point he's like, I mean, what else can, you know, what else can go wrong? Like, I've played worse than I've ever played in my career. You know, the Subway commercial comes out. That's a little corny, but it's kind of right up his alley. And it's
how about today, the high
him.
Knees on the airplane going out to London? Like, yeah, come on, that's a bunch of bull crap.
It's almost like he's just trying to be seen now,
yeah,
you know?
Sit me far away as possible from that guy if I was on that flight. That's a guy that doesn't shut up during a flight.
8 hours. This is my thing. I tweeted this out. Like, I was like, so you're telling me you did a workout for 4 hours? You were on that plane funky for 4 hours? Because it's four more hours after that, right? So you were sitting on that plane. I don't know who he was sitting next to. He's probably in first class. I flew out to London. Most of the starters sit in first class, or the veteran guys sit in first class. Whoever you was next to you was probably like, bro, you just going to sweat on this flight for four, and we got four more hours on here? Did you at least get a shower pill? You know what I'm saying? Like, the little wipes, the shower pill wipes, and wipe yourself off? Like, dude, what are you doing? We got four more hours on this flight, and you're going to be breathing hard and sweating and stink.
If you'd take a guess, where's Sean Payton coaching next year?
Everything in my heart tells me Dallas, right? And the only way Dallas, Mike McCarthy, I think, stays in Dallas is if they go to the NFC Championship. That's the floor for them. Because everybody knows the relationship that Jerry Jones and Sean Payton has. And
which is a shame, because he's actually done a good job this year since Dak's gone down.
Yeah, he has. So I think some respect needs to be paid to him. I just think Jerry loves Sean Payton, right? And if they get to the NFC Championship, I think they'll be hard-pressed. So you can't really fire a coach to get to the NFC Championship. But if they get bounced first round again, guarantee Sean Payton's going to Dallas.
I would want the Chargers job. I'd be rooting for Brandon Staley to keep on
messing
things up.
Oh, my God. What he could do with Jay Herbo, man, that is a match made. And I would love for him to go to the Chargers. The way Brandon Staley coaching, yeah, he might be up out of there after this year.
You know what job I wouldn't want? I would not want the Broncos job. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's tough, man. Honestly, there's rumors that they don't beat the Jaguars, which, again, if you look at the history, the Jaguars are on fire in London, right? They're literally the London team. So it kind of sucks for Nathaniel Hackett because he's actually going into a buzzsaw because Jacksonville usually doesn't lose up there in London. So there's rumors if he loses this week, he could potentially be out of there after this week.
Last thing that I'll just float out to you, Ligier Duzabal, is always great when he joins us on the Zach Gelb Show. LaFleur, 13-3 his first 3 years in the league. Rodgers last week saying they need to simplify the offense. This week he's saying guys to keep on making mistakes. It's time to cut those reps. Is there a chance this offseason with that dead cap number so large if Aaron Rodgers were to retire that Rodgers tries to force out Matt LaFleur?
I mean, I think he tried to do it his first year, right? And supposedly Brian Gutekunst said don't make trouble, you know, for the head coach. But I go to this, right? LaFleur came into a ready-made situation. Like, I know Mike McCarthy got fired, but like he still had one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. They revamped the whole defense that offseason. They got guys like Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith as well. But Rashawn Gary got drafted. Like, he came into a great situation. Let's not get it twisted. When he was with the Tennessee Titans as the offensive coordinator, he was middle of the pack. Like, people tend to forget that because of all the wins they've had the first 3 years. Now, again, Aaron Rodgers didn't play extremely great the first year, and it's hard for any quarterback in this system to play extremely great in the very first year. It's a difficult system. It's a Shanahan tree. But let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers has back-to-back MVPs. Like, he's had MVPs before Matt LaFleur was there. So, like, this team was a made-ready team. It'll be interesting if they say they don't make the playoffs. Do they potentially, I mean, can you fire a coach who's had so much success, even though it's practically based off of what the quarterback has done? It'll be something interesting to look at in this offseason, Zach.
Ligier Duzabal, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll get you on again soon, and we'll make fun of something I got wrong and that you got right.
All right, appreciate you.
There you go. Ligier Duzabal joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I have a few football questions right here. Hickey, I'll give my thoughts. I'll get your thoughts on them as well. Next year, is Matt Ryan on an NFL roster? Will Matt Ryan be on an NFL roster next season?
To start the season, I'll say no.
I think he's going to retire after this year. Because we went through it earlier. Where is he going? Like, the Commanders can't get rid of Wentz and then bring in Matt Ryan. I don't think he's going to the Saints. It's like, where is he going?
What about this?
You have a destination?
No, I don't. What if he
broadcasting?
Gets traded this year?
You think he's going to get traded from now until next week, early next week on the deadline?
Those three teams we brought up, the Commanders, the Panthers, the Saints.
If I'm the Commanders, I hate to say this because Matt Ryan's a good guy and was a really good quarterback in this league. I'd rather just not give up any capital for a
new. You don't want to trade with the Colts again?
No. Well, first off, you can't have out the Colts. But what's the point of bringing in Matt Ryan? I think Taylor Heinicke, honestly, may give you a better chance to win. Seems like it's just more life in that arm right now. Like, you watch Matt Ryan more than us, like, more than anyone. I know the line stinks in Indianapolis. And other Michael Pittman, you don't really have great weapons. But it seems like that arm is dead. And he's just shot. There's so many turnovers.
The turnovers are very scary. I mean, that's the thing with Taylor Heinicke is that, you know, he's also putting the ball in harm's way.
Let me ask this. If Matt Ryan was on the Commanders last week, do they beat the Packers?
I would say so.
Really? Ugh. I can't say that. Not that Taylor Heinicke played great, but...
Well, that's the thing. He did not play good. Still won the game. Like, that's one of those games where a quarterback doesn't matter too much in that specific game. I'd still probably take a younger Taylor Heinicke, but it's a question. It's a hole. You know, you need some consistency.
Like, I know that we've seen him make that throw. Who was it? To Pierce 2 weeks back against
against the Jaguars.
Not Tennessee. Against the Jaguars.
32-yarder.
Is Ryan in that spot making the throw that Heinicke made?
To McLaurin?
To McLaurin?
I think so.
Man, I don't know about that. I really don't. Now, you were a Matt Ryan stan before the season started.
But also, Carlos Hyde, like, he's ballsecurity is his biggest issue, but when he's had time, he hasn't been horrible. The only issue is he doesn't have any time.
Baker Mayfield, where is he next year? He's not in Carolina again next year.
Oh, my God.
He's a free agent.
He'll be somewhere.
He'll be on a team. But here's the biggest part with Baker.
Competing.
And this actually may help him because the way it's working out this week is this is a little bit of a reality check because Baker's back. Like, he's ready to go. Sam isn't right now. At least what I heard from Steve Wilks earlier today. They're going with PJ. We know they're going with PJ Walker. So how Baker handles until he gets another opportunity is going to determine how many teams are going to be interested in him next year. Because if Baker is a guy that you bring in to compete for a job and there's a chance he doesn't win it and then he's your backup, like Baker Mayfield would be a good backup. And I still think there's a chance for him to start somewhere in the league. But am I looking at him as a guy that I can really expect much if he starts? I think he's starting to show that he was more 2021 Baker than 2020 Baker with some of the early things that you saw in Carolina this year.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's on a team where he is like right away from signing the number one guy.
I'm trying to figure out where the destination is next year.
Like Seattle, I feel like you would think logically, but I think they'd probably
I'd rather bring back Geno. And they had an opportunity to go trade for Baker Mayfield and it would cost nothing. Pretty much. And they elected not to do that.
The Saints, you'd figure you try to get some sort of long-term quarterback.
You know what? The Saints may not be a bad one. But then it's year two of Dennis Allen. Oh, I guess you just hit your wagon to Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton, so nothing would surprise me.
Right. I think Jameis is a two-year deal, so he'll be back next year. But that's, I mean, you compete for it, but like I don't, especially for a destination where he's starting day one, I don't think there is one.
I could see one destination.
Colts? They're drafted a quarterback.
They're going to be drafting a quarterback. It doesn't mean they're going to be playing that. Does not mean they're going to be playing that quarterback right away. I would say the Colts, the Commanders, and the Seahawks. But actually, I'd take Seattle out of it. I would say the Colts, the Commanders, and the Saints are probably the first three destinations I think of Baker Mayfield.
If Chris Ballard is there next year for the Colts.
Which he may not be.
May not be.
This seems like we're trending in the direction of house cleaning at the end of this year for the Colts. Frank Reich's not going to be back. I think Ballard, who is well-respected around the league, and maybe that image saves him, but you just saw Jim Irsay with a guy that's well-respected around the league and Matt Ryan say, yeah, go grab some bench in week 7. I think this is a full house cleaning. Let's restart this entire thing. We're bringing a new quarterback. We're going to bring in a new coach. We're going to bring in a new GM.
I think Ballard will stay for now. He's definitely on the hot seat. If he stays, he's overrated. He also had no interest in Baker Mayfield. None whatsoever. I wanted Baker. I was pushing, making the push. Did not work. He wasn't listening to me.
Where's Carson Wentz next year?
Oh, Mike.
He can't be back with the Commanders. Right? You think he could be back with the Commanders next year?
No, I guess my only hesitation is injury. If he doesn't return, Heineke keeps the job long enough. Like, do you just say, hey, we didn't see enough?
No.
Like, I would agree, but then I can't tell you right now where he would be.
Under contract, but it costs him nothing to get out of it at the end of the season. There's no dead cap attached to him for 2023.
I have zero clue where he could. Like, is there any team that jumps out to you?
I hate to say it. He should retire. Carson Wentz should retire.
What is he, 27 years old?
I don't care. He has enough money. What are we, as Marco Belletti would say in the weekend overnight days, what are we doing here? It's now his third team. The guy isn't a good teammate. You know he can't handle the role of being a backup. And is another team really going to bring this guy in to be a starter? They'd be idiots.
All I'd say is this. Josh Rosen has gotten, like, what, 8 opportunities?
I don't care. That's not a guy that has the ego that he's still going to be the starter. I know he had a big ego with the jacuzzi and in college and all that nonsense, but that guy doesn't go into a place thinking he's a good start. Carson Wentz still thinks he could be an MVP in this league.
Well, if you want to collect a paycheck, you can go down the Josh Rosen route.
He doesn't need to collect a paycheck. The guy got all of his money already.
I mean,
he signed a 4-year, $128 million contract. His body is shot with, unfortunately, all the injuries. But the beating you took in Philadelphia without ending in Indianapolis, and now it's going to be one and done again with the Commanders? First off, why would a team bring this guy in? And number two, Carson Wentz, you would know this better than anyone. He can't handle being a backup.
No. With that said, I think he could be. I think next year,
where?
Washington, he stays in Washington.
If you're the competition.
Competes for the job.
What? Then you know what? Ron Rivera, Jason Wright, all those guys should just lose their job.
I mean, look, Dan Snyder wanted them. And as you can see, Dan Snyder does what he wants. Or yeah. He gets what he wants, I should say.
Well, he's an idiot.
Well, that goes out.
Is Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay next year?
I would say yes.
I would say so, too. Now, the question is Matt LaFleur back in Green Bay. Does Rodgers try to get LaFleur fired? I think it's on the table. I'm not going to say it's likely, but I think it's on the table. And then finally, here's the multi-million dollar question.
Multi-million.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one.
Tom Brady, where is he next year? I don't think he's back in Tampa. Before the year, I thought he was going to retire after this season. But now with it appearing that his marriage is basically donezo, the only one that really wanted him to stop playing football was Giselle. I know he has that deal lined up with Fox. Wouldn't shock me if Brady's playing football next year. And if he goes on one of these free agency tours once again and tries to latch on with a new team and says, thanks, Tampa, I'm going to go somewhere else. Where's Brady playing football next year there, hot take, Hickey? Or is he even playing football next year?
I think he is. Tennessee, I think, is an option.
Rabel. Yeah, makes sense.
Here's another option.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints.
There's been now, rumors there before.
It's contingent upon, again, the health of Michael Thomas, which is he's never healthy at this point. Alvin Kamara.
Olave's good.
Has been steady in terms of being on the field. Olave, like I said, is developing to a nice rookie receiver. They have talent on the defensive line, on the offensive line, on the defense.
I think the appeal, though, without Sean Payton there kind of goes out the window. You're going to play for Dennis Allen? I know you're basically then the coach, but this year with Brady being the coach hasn't worked out that well because that was the way it was viewed when Bruce Arians left and Todd Bowles replaced him.
I'd also think it's safe to assume if Tom Brady wants a certain coach, that coach will be there.
Fair. That's
fair. They're not signing with Dennis Allen over Tom Brady, even if it's just for a year.
You stopgap? I know Peter King shot this down when he was on with us, but do you stopgap a year? Maybe Trey Lance? Complications, and he finally gets to go to the 49ers with McCaffrey, Debo. You know he wanted to go there before. That's home. That's the team he grew up with. You have Ayuk. Do you tell Trey Lance, go grab some bench room a year, Tom? We'll do this for 1 year. Let's go.
I would say no. I don't think so. Because I think if you're going to do that, then you just totally ditch Trey Lance. You trade him, and you go all in on Brady for a year, and you hope it turns into two.
Well, that could be the last thing Brady would want to accomplish is playing for his hometown team. So maybe Brady goes into it saying, okay, I'm only going to do this for 1 year. So that's just some things on our table. All right, real quickly, here's my question. How many quarterbacks, last question I have, a lot of questions in this segment. How many quarterbacks can win a Super Bowl this year in the NFL? The NFL is more wide open than ever, or so we think. Because the NFC, the only great team right now is Philadelphia. And the AFC, it feels like the only two teams that get to the Super Bowl is Buffalo and Kansas City. Now, if one of those teams go down, can someone else emerge? Right now, if I had to just look at the teams and the quarterbacks that play on those teams, and I could just give you quarterbacks that I could see and actually realistically envision going to the Super Bowl, I have my list. But I need a number first. Hickey, how many quarterbacks, just number-wise, can you see going to a Super Bowl this year in the NFL?
Right now, I'm going to say five.
Five, okay. My number was four. And it probably should open up the door for one more because the split is three in the AFC and then only one in the NFC. My three in the AFC... Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. Is there anyone in the AFC that I'm leaving out there that we should give more consideration for this year? We could see that team going to the Super Bowl.
Those are my three. If you want to do the first one out, I would probably say Lamar Jackson.
I would agree. And they were my pick to win the Super Bowl before the year. But that defense is, I know they're 4-3, but that defense and their inability to close games, that's what's concerning me. So Lamar's fair. Now, in the NFC, I only gave one. And I would have never said this before the start of the year. They were a lock to win the division to me before the year. I liked them to win the division. I never thought they were going to be this good. Right now, the only quarterback I can see in the NFC getting the Super Bowl is Jalen Hurts. Like, that's how good I think the Eagles are. And they made another win-now move today going out there and getting Robert Quinn. Who's the other? Do you have another?
I actually have two. Neither are the Eagles.
Neither are the Eagles. Okay. Huh.
I'm not there yet with Jalen Hurts. And the Eagles...
If you give me the division, does it give it away?
Yes.
Okay. Is the quarterback in the NFC North?
No.
Okay. Jimmy G?
No. I like the 49ers, but no.
Brady?
I'm going to the Bucs.
That's fair.
I think they'll turn it around. I'm fair. Not panicking after 7 weeks, although it's not looked good.
Mm-hmm. And the other quarterback, ugh. You're not saying Stafford again, are you?
Of course I am. Why wouldn't I?
That statue behind that offensive line?
It's ugly through 7 weeks, don't get me wrong, but I mean, they have shown, those two quarterbacks have shown you, come late in the season, they can play their best football. I will take those January players right now and not panic over what's going on in October.
Settle down before we pipe Stafford in the same conversation with Brady. I know that he beat him last year, and he won that run last year. Let's see what Stafford could do when everything's not set up for him. And this year, everything's not set up for Matthew Stafford.
He made the biggest throw in each game of those four games. So.
He did. No, I give him credit for what he did last year. But I can't be a big-time believer that the Rams are going to be going back to the Super Bowl until that offensive line shows me they could give Stafford 3 seconds to actually think. Marco, for you, how many quarterbacks this year can you see getting to the Super Bowl in the NFL?
I mean, the guys that you mentioned, I would throw in Jimmy G. I still think the 49ers are
mm-hmm.
built well for the playoffs in the NFC.
I didn't say Brady. And it's just because this Bucs team right now,
you can't count them out because they're going to get into the playoffs.
Because their division stinks.
And they're going to get there.
And if it's so open and they start to fix that offensive line, then there's a shot. But they just look lethargic right now.
They do. But again, even as good as the
Brady's
Eagles look.
He's got to be in.
And as good as the Eagles look, let's be fair. Again, it's early. And this offense, as good as it's been, and Jalen Hurts has been awesome.
Second half, they haven't been great.
It's very gimmicky, though. Like, eventually, it's going to get found out. Like, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of just straight back, hey, we're beating you guys straight up. It's not. There's a lot of gimmicky stuff that's going on there that people will figure out. They're talented, and the NFC's wide open, but that's part of it. They're not a juggernaut.
Yeah, if I had to give you two quarterbacks in the NFC right now, I would say it's Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady. Those are the two that I could see getting the Super Bowl. Now, I will say about the Eagles why I like them so much. And it's not the quarterback I feel the strongest about with the list that I just gave. It's really because if they get home field advantage, which is not a lock yet, but if they get home field advantage, two games in Philadelphia to get to the Super Bowl, I just don't know I don't know how many quarterbacks are going to be able to go in there this year with that building jumping the way it is and take them down.
No, I get it. Like I said, and that's why I throw the 49ers into it. Do I love Jimmy Garoppolo? No. Do I think he's a great quarterback?
No.
But the Niners are a good team, and he knows what he's doing, and he can navigate the situation, and he's been through everything that you could possibly go through. Could he there go into Philadelphia and just command the ship, if you will, and have the rest of the team bail him out? Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, it is a possibility, especially how loaded they are. And they just got to get healthy. That's the biggest thing.
Again, and their run game is going to be, you add McCaffrey into that.
You don't even need a great running back. Remember when Raheem Mostert
went
off?
Yeah, and again, they've got enough weapons that as long as Garoppolo doesn't make the critical bone-crushing just mistake, which he's for the most part has stayed away from, they can still be dangerous in a big spot. And I don't think I can envision a scenario where they don't make the playoffs. Because I don't believe in a lot of the teams in that division.
Yeah, I said this when they got McCaffrey. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. Like, there's going to be weeks last week, the Falcons game, things like that. But you got to think if it only takes 9 wins, maybe only 8 this year, that they'll find a way to get 9 wins.
Like I said, and that's why they'll squeak into the playoffs somehow. And then all of a sudden you see them in a wild card game and you go, they got to go on a road. This is a tough matchup. And
like Dallas last year?
Yeah, to Green Bay last year. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't see a lot of this. You know, and then all of a sudden you're there and you're like, yeah.
And the NFC title game in the lead.
And as soon as they got in the title game, you're like, yeah, we should have saw it coming. Right, because, I mean, the team is built that way, and Garoppolo's not awful. He's just fine, and the rest of the team is good enough.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do the closing bell next.
From New York Times bestselling author Tyler Kepner comes The Grandest Stage, a history of the World Series. Kepner dives into the history, lore, and strategy of the biggest event in baseball. Why do some players crave the pressure and others cave? What's it like to manage in the World Series? What are the secrets of building a champion? Pick up your copy of The Grandest Stage today. It's also the perfect gift for the baseball fan in your life. Available wherever books are sold from Doubleday.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can always follow along on social media at Zach Gelb, Twitter and Instagram, ZACHGELB, where you can catch some of our interviews that we did tonight with John Kuhns, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and also Lige Duzabal. Coming up tomorrow, Shelby Harris from the Seattle Seahawks is going to be stopping by. We'll talk about their surprising start to the year. And we are supposed to have former Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell, as he's now a boxer, going up against Uriah Hall. So we will get a few minutes, hopefully tomorrow, with Le'Veon Bell, or so we were promised. We'll see if it actually happens. Anyway, without further ado, it's time to get to The Closing Bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
If I could just latch on to an NBA team this year, I would latch on to the Pelicans. They're fun. They're young. They showed you a lot last year. And last night, without Zion Williamson, without Brandon Ingram, they're going up against the Mavs. Luka Doncic's going off with 37 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. They still find a way to edge out the Mavs, 113 to 111, without Zion and without Brandon Ingram. I love the way that this team is playing last year, and I like what they're doing so far this year at 3-1. Give the Pelicans a stock up. Devin Booker. They beat the Warriors last night. Klay Thompson got ejected, but Devin Booker had 34 points in a Suns 134-105 victory against the Dubs. Give Devin Booker a stock up. The redemption tour for Howie Roseman. A few years ago, we all thought he had naked pictures of Jeffrey Lurie, and that's the only reason why he was keeping his job. And he didn't draft Justin Jefferson. He didn't draft DK Metcalf. Instead, he went with Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And look at where the Eagles are a few years later. They drafted Devontae Smith. They traded for A.J. Brown. They found a way to get Jordan Davis in the draft. They traded for Darius Big Play Slay. They signed James Bradbury. They traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Today, they traded for Robert Quinn. They signed Hassan Reddick in the offseason. Oh, yeah, and by the way, their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, remember that controversial draft pick in the second round? He's looking like he's a franchise quarterback now. And the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender. Howie Roseman has done a magnificent job with the Philadelphia Eagles this year and the last few years in getting them back to where they need to be. And he dug himself into a deep hole. But whenever Howie looks like he's down and out, he finds a way to magically get the job done. And getting Robert Quinn today, guy had 18 and a half sacks a year ago and only one in the year, but you're in Chicago, so you can't hold it against you. That's a good move. Low risk, high reward. I'm sure they're going to pick up a running back as well from now until the deadline next week. But I could give a stock up to Howie Roseman. Hickey, how are your high knees, by the way? If you had to try to do some high knees right now, how are they?
Not great. My lower body's very tight.
Really? You can't even do high knees right now?
And I could.
I am bizarrely flexible. Like, I could. How tall are you?
5'11.
I could kick at your head. I think I can kick over your head. I have great hamstrings. But if you were on a flight, I'm going on an 8-hour flight to Barcelona in March for a bachelor party. I'm sure I'll get up and walk around, stretch a little bit, but I'm not doing 3 or 4 hours of stretching at high knees.
You're not doing calisthenics
in a row?
Half the flight?
I'll go to the bathroom, stretch legs, talk to some of my friends on the plane. That's probably about it. That's what Russell Wilson did for 4 hours. This guy is the gift that keeps on giving, and it's a gift that you want to just give back. because Russell Wilson's been a disaster with the Broncos and the punchlines just keep on coming. Stock down to Russell Wilson. And finally, Matt Ryan. He got benched, and now you're the third-string quarterback as it's Nick Foles and Sam Ellinger in front of you, and that's how your good career ended, a guy that was an MVP, because I don't think he's going to be playing next year. Benched 7 weeks in by the owner, Jim Irsay, of the Indianapolis Colts. Give a stock down to Matt Ryan. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you follow on Instagram, Twitter, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Do that right now. And we'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Big thanks to all of you. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.